the King's Men by Robert Penn Warren. The novel starts off with the description of a car on a highway. And as this car is moving, it is distracted suddenly. And if it doesn't get distracted, the car is safe and remains on the road. But the moment it gets distracted, it ends up in a terrible accident. And the field hands across the way witness this accident. And the road is marked by these crosses, basically, or X's, that show all the other cars that have gotten accidents along the way, which seems to be a regular occurrence on this strip of road. What we need to think about this is Robert Penn Warren is establishing right away that if people lose their focus, if they veer off their path, it can become deadly. And we are using that analogy to look at politics through the study of Willie Talos, who's also in the movie considered the Latin, they use the name Willie Stark. But for our reading of this text, his name is Willie Talos. And in this analogy, we have to understand that starting the novel this way is establishing a narrative that if you do not remain focused on the task at hand, if you are going too fast, lose your focus, go out of control, that it can be fatal. This is a story that is centered around the idea of politics, power, as well as definitely Southern culture, as we analyze it in a variety of ways. In our snapshot series, we're going to look at this book in-depthly in class, only for a few class periods. We're not going to be able to do the entirety of the novel as an in-depth reading, but we are going to go over the major plot points and do a close reading of chapter one. When we meet the boss, we have to assume that he is on his rise, still up in politics, but he is established. He's not done his journey yet, but at the same time, he maybe doesn't have the same energy that he once had. At the point when we meet him, he's the governor, and he is entering into his hometown, which he says to visit his father. Well, there's more to it, and we see right away that there is a narrative building taking place around Willie Talos at all times. This is not just the man who's acting the way he wants to behave. Everything is very deliberate. Everything is set up because he wants to present himself in a way that generates voters, which will generate power for himself and the people around him. His political motto, which we see on a billboard outside of the town square, it says, "My study is the heart of the people." So when we think about this motto and apply it both to politics, both in reality and its functionality, we got to think about this concept of connecting to the heart. Because this is what we see out of Willie the entirety of this first chapter. Everything is about building this narrative that he is a man of the people, that he is one of them. So he doesn't have to act on their behalf by acting through his own ideas. If he's acting, just being himself is going to establish the same things that they want. What he wants is what they want because they have the same heart. He's one of them. So he is studying the heart of the people to win the people, but he is one of the people all in the same. So it's a perfect little moniker to be using because it's both honest and dishonest. And it's perfect for politics, particularly in the world that we're entering into that Robert Penn Warren has created in All the King's Men. We have to remember with the story is while the story is about Willie Talos, we are also seeing it through the eyes of a newspaper reporter turned basically right-hand man in Jack Burton. And Jack Burton offers us a sarcastic narration at times. We don't always know when he's being serious versus when he is joking, when he is a little bit angry almost with the way things are going or how things are being presented or his role in everything. And we get a sense consistently throughout the text that Jack doesn't have control over his own life once he enters into Willie Talos's atmosphere. And once he's brought into that universe and becomes part of Willie's entourage, that he no longer has the freedom and control that we see early on in the text when he's with Willie at Slade's bar. So a couple of things we have to think about is that Jack presents this idea that knowledge is the end of man. The exact quote is, "The end of man is knowledge." He points out to the reader that man either dies because he knows too much or dies because he doesn't know enough. And there's this fine line of when these two things can catch man and alter his existence. And I do think it's a part of the text that we have to look at and come back to as we learn more about these characters. This fine line between understanding exactly what we need to know in that moment versus getting ourselves in trouble for knowing too much or getting ourselves in trouble for just being ignorant, not knowing enough. And this is something that we can consider and think about in a wide variety of ways, whether it's in just a complete emotional situation, whether it's a physical situation or existential situation. We need to consider the fact that how knowledge is being used in this story. In many ways, we're going to see it weaponized, but how it's weaponized and what it does to impact the characters themselves can come at us in just a variety of ways. So Willie gives an impromptu speech to a crowd that knows it's Willie. They're excited to see Willie. They want a piece of Willie. And you can tell that a lot of this is part of a performance. Willie is playing the part of the people's politician. And he makes a comment, quoting the Bible, that there are four things constant in life. It's death, it's birth, it's earth, it's fire. And he says it a little bit more poetically. But then he adds the joke at the end, the fifth one, that it's a politician asking for something, the gimme, he calls it. And in this mode, we have to understand that he is always working. He is a man who is always working. Even when he says he's not working, he's working. So we're getting aspects of the political nature of Willie, he is a political beast. He's not going to be able to separate himself from the job. The job is Willie. Willie is the job. And he's very much aware of his surroundings, which speaks to the political nature that we are meeting him when he's at the square. Now, Jack points out this idea about comfort coming from home. And Willie presents this idea that coming back to see his father is about his comfort, but we learn pretty quickly that he's back for a photo op, a news story, and this push, which eventually we'll get to, is that Willie has aspirations to be the president, and he believes he's going to get there. So the idea of coming back home and connecting with his roots, and while you can be comfortable in different places, the idea of actually being home, back where you grew up, has a deeper connection to just living a life of luxury elsewhere. And that's when we transition to the flashback back to Slade's bar, where Willie is just an up-and-coming politician meeting with a group to get some things done. And in this meeting, when they're meeting at this bar, a lot is established in a small amount of space. And we know that this is, in our face, backroom politics. We know that when Willie's offered to drink, ultimately, he says no, and it becomes a bit of a point of contention with the group. What's Willie going to do? Is he going to bend to the will of everyone? Hey, just drink, have a beer. But he says no, and he holds his ground. They kind of give him a hard time about being married to a school teacher and that he's there to get a school built. You know, this idea that he's a teacher's pet, they keep making the joke, but Willie doesn't bite. And when Slade, the bartender, ultimately doesn't make Willie get a drink of beer, doesn't offer him a beer, it's Slade that we find out later on benefits tremendously from Willie's rise to power when people were having a hard time getting proper licenses for a variety of things. Slade didn't have a problem. So in this little small scene, we start to learn that Slade benefited from being in Willie's network immediately, for helping Willie, not going against Willie, for not pushing Willie. And Willie's going to be someone who's going to reward those who are loyal to him. And Jack's at that table. It's the first time Jack meets him. He's got this sort of fascination with whether or not Willie winked at him. Basically, Willie acknowledging that he was playing the part in this moment. And Willie won't admit whether or not he winked at him, won't go into it. And Jack kind of goes back and forth about it. And it's this idea that Willie is something and someone who is powerful. And Jack seems to be attracted to it enough that we see it established that just that little wink of whether or not Willie was playing the part of the up-and-coming politician, or this was actually Willie himself being who he was prior to becoming the politician, is something to consider. It eats at Jack. Jack's the one who wants to figure out, is this the man who's playing the character, or is this who Willie actually is? And we have to think about that. We have to think about the role that Jack's going to play in Willie's life. He is his right-hand man, but he's also the narrator of the story who's going to tell us what exactly is happening, how he sees things, how it bothers him, what interaction strengthens his relationship, all of the sidebar conversations that we get. We also have to remember that we're going to meet Jack in a variety of time and place. Jack's going to be telling us stuff that's happening in the past while bouncing it back to what's happening in the current moment. And we get the sense that Jack at times is unhappy with his decisions that he made in the past, but he's going to retell this story regardless. So when they finally are on this trek, Sugar Boy driving the car, which is a whole other conversation we'll point out in class, and he's on their way, they're on their way to Willie's family's estate, which is not really an estate, which we're going to talk about here. It's just his land. It's a unpainted, small home that Willie comes from. And this narrative that he's just a small town boy out there trying to make it against the political elites is essential to the narrative of who Willie Tallis is. And while we're on this journey to this narrative building moment, it's revealed that Jack's been keeping notebooks about everything that's occurred since he's met Willie. And the quote from Jack is, "A man's got to carry something," which we know as readers, it doesn't just show up there. It doesn't come up later. We know that these notebooks are going to be important at some point in the novel. They're not just thrown into a safety deposit box and then never touched again. They're going to come back. But knowing that Jack's collecting information, that Jack's only weapon to ever protect himself or to give himself any power is going to come from the information he knows. There's no physical power for Jack. He seems to not have control over his own life. He seems to be bossed around, Willie being nicknamed the boss, in every facet of his life. But here in this moment, we get the little bit of the power he's collecting. That in the knowledge he has, the dirt we have to assume he has on everyone who's been around Willie for all these years, is ultimately his ace that he's going to hold close. And while we're on the road, there's the conversation about Willie getting involved in a stabbing. Now, not directly, but a friend of a friend scenario, a kid got stabbed. He's making sure that a proper lawyer is going to get involved, that he wants this thing to go away. Tiny points out, one of the other characters who we'll talk about in class, points out this could be dangerous. You don't want to play sides here. But on this trip to the narrative building photo op, it's revealed that the political nature, the political beast that Willie is on point. He's not going to get caught up in it. He knows how to make decisions to get people in the right places to not have it fall back on him. And he's really quickly to snap at Tiny that in no way, shape, or form will this go back on him. He knows how to play the game. And we have to believe Robert Penn Warren puts this in the story to make sure that we understand that Willie is not acting without a lot of thought. We're not getting a reactionary version of Willie. We're getting someone who's completely locked in, that every decision he makes, he knows the political ramifications of. So by the time they get to the childhood home, and the home is very understated, it's not been fixed up. And we know that Willie's done well at this point, well enough to provide a much nicer home for his father. But he knows if he updated the home on the outside, that it would damage the way he's viewed. It would damage the way his father's viewed to the average person, to the average voter. And by keeping the home the way it is, it shows that he is still one of the people. He hasn't changed. He lives in his father's house. It hasn't changed. He's the same kid. He's just getting older. He's one of us. But what we learn is on the inside of the house, he's made updates. There's running water. There's a bathroom. But everything that you can't see from the road's been updated. But if you can see it from a distance, the perception is more important than the reality. The reality is he's not going to let his father live in a rundown house. It might not be perfect. It might be a major bachelor pad, by the way it's described, since Willie's mother's passed away. But it does have modern accommodations that he's had to make in secret so that people don't know it. And which I think is a really important aspect to understand, that Willie wants the narrative to remain. He's not willing to sacrifice any aspect of his backstory to impact him in the moment as he's building himself for what he believes the run to the presidency. And while this is going on, we have this sort of hilarious scene where they want him to take a photo with the dog. The dog is basically half dead. They drag the dog over. They put the dog in his lap. The dog smells terrible. And all the while this is going on, Jack's getting more frustrated by the moment. He does not like this. But it's been his life. And we don't yet understand why Jack is so committed to Willie. We don't get a sense why Jack feels like he needs to stay with Willie. But there is a connection there. And there we have to believe there is some codependence, which is by the time that Jack is down on the backside of the land watching the sun go down, he talks about his life principle, which is what you don't know don't hurt you. That is the direct quote. What you don't know don't hurt you. This ability for him to try to be on purpose, oblivious to certain scenarios, to make sure he doesn't know what he shouldn't know. Okay, and that's a big thing that he needs to understand, that there are things that if he doesn't know it, it's better for everybody. And what he needs to know, he'll know. But if it's key for him, and he talks about what has been best for his survival, is not knowing things that he shouldn't know. So this is something we got to consider. Is this politics? Is this human nature? What are we talking about here? How much of this is all blended together? And while this is going on, this idea of knowledge consistently comes up, that we know knowledge and information is going to be powerful to the point where it could be life-saving for someone like Jack, who's dealing with someone like Willie, who we see the hostility in him towards the end of this first chapter. At the end of dinner, it's revealed that we get Willie's secretary comes up and announces who we'll talk about in class, her role in the novel and her role long-term in the novel. But we get this sense that we find out that Willie is trying to support a guy by the last name of Masters to run for senator. And Judge Irwin, a very powerful local judge, is going against Willie's wishes. And he is going to support Callahan, who's running against Masters. And there's a lot of discussion about the point of dignity. And it goes back to who Willie wants to be. This concept that Willie wants to be the same person that he always is. And he doesn't want to be proper. He points out this idea that when he's president, he won't change. No one who's acting in a dignified way has any fun, he mentions in his own way. So as this is going on, we get this sense that Willie wants to be kind of a gangster in the way he presents himself. He wants to be outwardly well-liked, approachable. He wants to be the everyday man. But behind the scenes, as we could expect, he wants to be the pit bull. He wants to be the guy who's going to get in there and intimidate people if he cannot, at first, convince them with his charm. And while this is going on, Jack throws out this concept about memory. And he says, if the human race didn't remember, it'd be perfectly happy. And while we know this is kind of a sarcastic comment, which we can look into the scene that it takes place in, we have to remember that a lot of this is centered around that Willie is someone whose memory seems to be locked tight. You double cross him, it's a problem. You support him, you stand with him, he'll never forget. He likes loyalty. So we have to understand Willie is a centerpiece of this example about memory being tied to knowledge, tied to information. And while Jack, we know, is keeping notebooks after notebooks about what's been going on, this concept that everyone would be in a much better place if there was no such thing as memory. It's a weird side note, but it's something that we need to think about because it is playing a major factor in how Willie interacts with people and how he makes his decisions long term. By the time they make it to Judge Irwin's, they decide to go out on this night run. They're going to get there around midnight almost. And we realize that when they go to Burden's Landing, this is Jack's hometown. And Jack feels very odd going back, this mixed emotions of being this kid there growing up, now arriving in the back of a Cadillac in the middle of the night with the governor. And they're going to go meet Judge Irwin. And Judge Irwin is a man who is a father figure for Jack. And Willie knows this. When he knocks on the door and he opens and Jack walks right in and starts to have a conversation with him, then Willie appears. And it's pointed out that Judge Irwin is not going to be bothered. He's not going to be shaken by any of these threats. And by the end of this entire scene, he's not. Even though that Willie threatens him with a number of issues, is going to dig up dirt on him, is going to take his job away, he's not shaken. And Judge Irwin is very honest, saying that, "I'm not supporting Masters because Masters is in bed with you, so I can't support him." And now this whole scene ends with two things. Jack being frustrated by this idea of these two men talking about the idea of what it means to be a gentleman. It's a very short, small scene, but the interaction sours Jack. And at the end, when Willie asks Jack to dig up dirt, he wants that dirt to stick. And the entire chapter one ends with Jack being told to make it stick. He says, "I made it stick, all right." And he lists off all the people who are dead by the time he's retelling this story, which leads us to believe that, does Jack have a hand in their death? Is it just time itself led to their demise? Or does it tie back to this idea about information, that everybody in this little situation that was listed in the last paragraph either knew too much or didn't know enough? But Jack made it stick, all right, and it impacted the lives of a number of people. We're going to look at this story through the scope of politics. We're going to look at the writing style in a literary way. We're going to think about how tone is built, how character description is used, how setting is used to build a narrative that's not only showing Southern environment, but Southern culture through the scope of politics and the connection between the two of them. I hope you enjoy this novel. We're only going to be looking at the first section in class. I wish we had more time. We're going to be looking at the restored edition, so it's a little bit more wordy than some of the edited editions that we've seen. But Robert Penn Warren wrote an incredible novel, and I really hope you enjoy it.